I could not have sex unless I shaved.
Being a person of color, your hair structure is different, and then these products are designed for like lighter hair.
62% of men have regularly shaved their intimate area, and 67% of women have regularly shaved their intimate area.
This is needed to be pretty, the hairlessness. So, Helen, have you ever felt shame about body hair, being seen with hair, or like being not shaven enough in any place of your body?
I think in every place of my body. I think really everywhere I have felt shame, and I used to be very intense about it and used to have to shave almost every day. Especially legs or anything below the waist, but also armpit hair, any hair unless the head. Yeah. Any hair was not welcome in my life for a very long time.
Yeah, I feel that you just aren't allowed to wear anything that reveals skin if that skin is previously prepped for hairlessness, basically.
Very much.
Yeah.
Welcome, everyone. As you can guess, today we are going to be talking about body hair. We are Helen and
Ameza.
And we are excited to talk about the history of body hair, connotations, myths about it, and what the pressures are surrounding it.
Yes. There are so many methods of hair removal, like shaving, tweezing, laser,
waxing,
sugaring,
epilating.
Yeah.
Hair removal is a huge industry.
Yeah, and the way we engage with hair signifies so much about like societal norms, how we view the gender binary, or like how we enforce it even. And today we're going to talk about it.
So one thing about hair or body hair as it currently is, as we mentioned in our little question, that it has a lot to do with as soon as you wear this, people have to kind of prep a lot before, or you have the feeling as soon as there's like the bikini bathing suit season that it's like, okay, now my legs have to be shaved and my pubic hair has to be shaved, otherwise I cannot go out. And in recent histories of kind of beauty standards in the West, the more shaved you are as someone who has a female presenting body, the better. And for people who have a male presenting body, kind of chest, beard, and leg hair is often perceived as masculine and can then be a positive thing. But also it has been changing very much, the beauty standard.
Interestingly enough, it has been changing in recent years. What I think generally is noteworthy is that oftentimes the argument for hairlessness is this hygiene, or like this taking care of yourself, that if you're hairy, that you're a bit dirtier, or like that you're not taking care of yourself, which stems from myths like if you're hairy, you're more sweaty or like more prone to sweat, which is very interesting because I feel like it's sort of in this like out of sight, out of mind attitude, because like I know from myself and many friends that, for instance, if they're wearing a long skirt, nobody cares if your hair, if your legs are hairy. So I don't really think that this cleanliness argument is really truthful.
And it also isn't proven to be truthful, right?
Yes.
Because as long as you wash, which you also should be doing if you're shaving,
in any case,
the general area just needs to be washed well, but it's just as hygienic because, I mean, evolutionary, there's also a reason as to why there is hair, which is kind of to keep warm, but also to, I guess, filter dirt. But as long as the hair is washed, it is clean.
Yeah, I mean, evolutionary speaking, hair has its function, right? And even the sweat argument is scientifically not really proven. Of course, there's the fact that hair, it attaches to moisture or like wetness. So if you're sweating with hair, you're maybe more prone to having sweat stains. I personally, I always get them, so it doesn't matter if I'm shaved or not. So the more sweatiness or like more smelly argument doesn't really hold value. Body hair can also reduce chafing. So for instance, in your armpit area, if you're jogging, if you're not completely hairless, it's a bit more soft, I guess, with hair. And it also may in fact play a role in like sensation and arousal. So pubic hair, for example, has like very tiny nerve endings at the end of the hair follicles. So that means that that area can create lots of sensation if you have friction there. One study in 2007 by the Journal of the Royal Society of Medicine even claimed that the body hair's major function is that it releases pheromones, which is crazy. I don't know if that's true necessarily, but that you basically attract mates with your body hair or like with the stuff it exudes. And that male pheromones can boost female libido, though we mostly don't need that nowadays, but it's a fun fact.
But I do find it very interesting. I also read about this, that kind of the smell that it entraps is kind of like an attraction mode, which is very fun. Crazy.
Yeah, some theories are even that like male beards are for like cushioning blows to the face, so that it has like a function like a lion's mane.
Oh my god.
But further studies didn't really correlate, like men with beards don't fight better than men without, or like they don't win fights more. It's not completely true
or like interesting
completely
theory.
Clear. Yeah,
very funny. Yeah.
But what's most concerning like about the hair issue, that it's so like binary. Like for women, it's very much expected to be hairless, right? And this is because like hair is like this sexual dimorphic trait. Like usually men have more hair, which is also not true all the time. But people of any age can grow hair at like any place. And they will actually, right?
Yeah.
Even babies have hair everywhere.
Babies. But I think what's super interesting is kind of like, I mean, the most hair growth or the big beginning of hair growth where you start shaving also is puberty.
Yeah.
And it kind of shows you like, okay, you are getting older, your reproductive organs are doing their thing, allowing you to reproduce now, and you then shave immediately. It's like a sign of grownness.
Get rid of it.
Yeah, get rid of it, which I find is an interesting connotation. But I also remember when it started for me that there was kind of pressure to get rid of it, that it was like a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
For me, my mom taught me how to shave. We were like sitting in the bathtub and she like showed me how to do it. We had like the little foam.
Okay.
I was like, I don't know, 13, I think. It was kind of like a rite of passage, I guess.
Yeah.
In my household, because for instance, my mother grew up in a time where you only shaved the lower leg, so everything below the knee and the top knot. And when I did it like that, people in school commented on it because no one else was doing it like that. Everyone shaved the whole leg. And my mother was really confused. She was like, okay, this is wild, really, everything. And yeah, so I think, 2014-ish, the trend was still a lot towards get rid of it all.
Everything.
Gone.
But that's interesting. Like the rituals were clashing, sort of.
Yeah.
Mm. I remember when puberty is such a embarrassing time in general for like, because like everything is shameful. Like if you do anything that's out of the norm, you're ashamed. And like when I started growing body hair, I was like terrified, like, or like even a bit disgusted by myself in a way. And I think it's so interesting seeing how adverse the reactions are, like how negative they are, because like we have this image that people should be mostly hairless. And if you are hairy, it's like, ew, what's going on with you? Like, take care of that.
Yeah, for sure. Because I think for me, I at first had like armpit hair. And this was such a shameful thing for me. I was like horrified about it. I was like, it has to go. And it has to go now. And it's interesting because I think, I mean, at the time when this happens, it's like, I don't know, between, I mean, puberty is continuously starting younger and younger, right? You haven't lived that much yet, right? You haven't seen that much, but already at this point, sort of like beauty standards and like grooming expectations, how to take care of your body are so set.
But also very secretive in a way, because like when I started developing those things, I wasn't aware that everybody had to take care of it. Like, of course, to a certain extent, but when in certain places there's hair, it's like, oh, what the fuck is wrong with me now? Like, and then you start learning like, oh, okay, that's normal, but people just get rid of it for like public presentation, basically.
But this is, I think, what one of the hells of puberty is. You always feel like you're going through it alone.
Yeah.
Because no one else is talking about it, really. And of course, everyone was shaving.
Mm-hmm.
Because I also don't think anyone during puberty, I think then after high school, yes, but during puberty, I don't think anyone did the I will let my hair grow thing from females around me. And I think in my year group, also some men, even though it was not a standard, did also shave their legs or arms. Mm-hmm. But this is a shift, as we mentioned earlier, that kind
of... Totally, yeah.
There has been a shift towards people who present as male shaving.
Yeah, I think in my time, people didn't really like men or like boys didn't really care about it. It wasn't a topic. In general, shaving wasn't a topic also among girls, like among my girlfriends. So I know from friends and myself that shaving was a very secretive experience. Like, I also remember my first razor, I bought it secretly. I didn't want my mom to find out. I didn't want anybody to know. I just wanted people to think like, oh, you're hairless and smooth. By nature.
Okay, you're like, look at me.
Yeah, I'm just born this way. But actually, hair, like as we said before, also has like some benefits. Like, for instance, I read that, like you said, hair also helps protect some areas. Like, especially in the pubic area, it can help fend off infections. Also, because your pubic area is very open to the world, basically, pussy facing the world. And if you shave, you're also more prone to infections just because of the process itself. Like, you can still get cuts or little nicks no matter how often you do it. Yeah.
But I think it's interesting how historically this has changed, like the perception of body hair. I think shaving has always kind of been a part of it, but it has always kind of had a fluctuation on its popularity or who is doing it and why. And I thought maybe we could spend a bit of time to kind of look into the history of shaving, because it's technically seen already in like wall paintings from ancient Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
So 4000 BCE, where, in wall paintings, you see like eyebrows that are shaved or like picked, or intimate areas that are shaved, and where traditionally things were used like bronze razors or beeswax, or this was also seen in like ancient Rome and Greece.
Yeah, it's crazy how early people started using tools. I mean, of course, we as a human race are known for using tools, I guess. But when I read that, like what tools ancient Egypt used already, or like ancient Egyptians, it was crazy to me, because like already sugaring, it's really surprising. And like in Greece and the Roman Empire, hairlessness was even associated with class, and pubic hair was seen as uncivilized. That's why many statues and paintings depict Greek people pretty much hairless.
But I do find it interesting because from some articles I read, the connotation was different. So they were supposed to show a sort of pureness, especially when it was god figures. Mm-hmm. And that's why the hair was left off, because the hair sort of represented that you had gone through puberty and are now ready to have like sexual interaction. So the mm-hmm. sexualized okay. version was you had hair, and the statues, etc., that didn't have it in ancient Greece were sort of the concept of it being a body away from sexuality. So just kind of showing the body. Okay. Without a sexual connotation. So it's a complete flip.
So it was almost like a code or like a way to engage with the art in a
yeah.
way? Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Very interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. And in Greece, they like used flint razors, tweezers, creams already, and stones to remove hair, which is crazy.
Gosh.
Yeah. Mm, but yeah, historically, like even cavemen were said to shave already to like, prevent insects from nesting in their hair with like crude tools like sharpened rocks or seashells as well. One crazy thing that I didn't want to spoil you before about was like in the Elizabethan era, hair removal was very popular as well, but not like the body hair, but like eyebrows and facial. So lots of women in particular, like the trend was going towards very thin eyebrows and sometimes even like the Berlin look of like having no eyebrows. And in the case that you had thin eyebrows, they would have them like very long, and they'd even shave off parts of their hairline so that they could have longer eyebrows.
This is crazy. The eyebrows, I also read that in Buddhist monks in Thailand mm-hmm. shave their eyebrows as a religious part
yeah.
of their identity. And this is crazy. The eyebrows are crazy to me.
Yeah, totally.
Because I also, when I think about body hair, don't think about the eyebrows, even though eyebrows are always a trend. Like
beginning
of 2000s, the skinny eyebrows were also in. 2016, we had the very drawn on ones, and Cara Delevingne happened, and then you were allowed to have thicker ones again. It was recently thinning again.
Yeah, now
I think.
It's thinning again.
Yeah.
Yeah. But like in the Brits back then, like in the 1500s, they even, for their children, like it was so popular that they rubbed walnut oil or like other concoctions of cat feces and vinegar on the hairline so that the kids' hairlines would like be set a bit higher.
Oh my God.
And the eyebrow trend could already begin at an early age.
Okay, they were really dedicated
they
to their
very,
eyebrows.
Very on trend.
Okay, so the beauty standard back then was really the long eyebrows, yeah. long skinny eyebrows. Wow.
Yeah, but again, this is also visible like in paintings like the Mona Lisa, for instance. Yeah. yeah.
True.
Which didn't have any eyebrows, I think, or very light ones.
I don't know, everyone just talks about the eyes, so it's all yeah. eyes and the smile, so it's all
her
you think
smile,
about, right?
Yeah, her smile is beautiful. Yeah.
But I do think it's interesting that the shaving has kind of become such a big thing in Europe, particularly in the West in general, but in Europe, because it doesn't generally have like a big thing with Christianity. In Christianity, it was kind of frowned upon in the Middle Ages, and unblemished body hair was a standard.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the Europeans colonized the American continent, and they sent back reports where they were horrified that indigenous populations were shaving, and kind of wrote descriptions that they were doing it with like shells or plucking it out.
Yeah.
And were like very confused as to what was happening.
Mm-hmm.
Then from then on, the next kind of wave or the next point where the Europe kind of touched with the shaving was Charles Darwin, because he believed in the sexual evolutionary pressure. So people find each other attractive when they are shaved, because then they look less like animals and have kind of shed fur, so to speak.
Yeah.
So that's why the bare skin was kind of discussed as a better norm. and that this also then led to the binary distinction that we spoke about earlier, that women were to remove hair because having hair is masculine, and that men were to have as much hair as possible. And starting from then on, shaving kind of increased. But even then, before like the first wave feminism in 1968, around this time, there was still a lot of body hair, like kind of this hippie culture with the armpit hair.
It was a counterculture, basically.
Yeah, there was a counterculture. But currently, it is coming up a bit again now with the third wave. But during the second wave, it was very shaved.
Totally, yeah. What I read like about the West is that it was mostly inspired or like brought forward because of like fashion trends, magazines, the media, of course.
Porn.
Yeah, porn very much too. But as you said, like with Charles Darwin, he basically jump-started the binary thinking because he like attributed hair just to sexual selection and that this is more attractive, and that's why it's evolutionary or like the most important thing for the female of the species, I guess.
And then I guess fashion and porn just kind of capitalized it, right?
Yeah, a bit. Of course, there have always been like some medical or like technical inventions. Like for instance, in 1760, Jacques Perret, a French barber, he invented the first razor so that men wouldn't have to go to the barber all the time and you could do it. And in 1844, the first depilatory creams, like the first hair removal creams were created. And then 1880, King Camp Gillette, the name that we still know today, he like invented the first disposable razors so that men could do it in the privacy of their homes.
Wow.
Yeah. And then a couple years later, 1915, Gillette also created the first razor targeted towards women. So there we have this binary again.
Yes, where the razor for the woman was in pink and the one for the man was in blue.
I think it even had a title, like it was called the My Lady Décolleté Gillette.
Wow. Okay, they went hard. Okay.
Yeah. And then in the following years, like, the need to shave increased because of like fashion trends, and then magazines coincided with that. So for instance, from the 1910s to like the 1930s, hemlines and skirts were rising up. So women would usually wear stockings, but because of World War II, nylon was like a rare resource and their hairy legs would have been exposed. So it became normalized to start shaving.
Yes. And then with 1970, we have more and more porn being filmed instead of it just being in magazines where pictures were taken. Because in magazines of 1970s, you see still porn where there's a lot of hair in the magazines. There's also still, I was in a club recently where they were playing gay porn.
Oh.
70s gay porn in like black and white. It was very edgy.
Artsy.
Yeah, and there it was also very, very hairy still, but as more and more porn was produced and filmed, less hair was kind of shown. It was promoted less. Also because I guess you see more when there is less hair, right? You have like certain shots, you see the genitals better.
Very functional.
Yeah, quite functional. Also, if you are filming a lot, you don't chafe on the hair of each other, etc., etc.
Yeah.
So a lot of it was kind of functionality, but also in hand with the beauty standards given or then adopted actually from porn to the fashion industry and the media landscape of less and less hair.
That's like a dynamic that happens super often, like the porn or like kink aesthetics that are like get
generally
adopted
marginalized
into,
groups.
Yeah.
The mainstream takes
Let's
it.
Let's take that.
Yeah. Like no ideas of their own. Yeah.
But of course, apart from like porn, also things, inventions like the bikini, for instance.
Yeah.
They also, I think 1946 also contributed to like, okay, now I have to also start taking care of my pubic hair. so that I look good in my bikini, I guess.
Yes, but I find it interesting kind of how in very recent years perceptions have also kind of shifted, because in like, yeah, the 70s, it was super normal to have pubic hair in your place, and also you maybe like cut it a bit or made it into like a little landing strip or like a fancy shape or something.
Some patterns.
Yeah, woo! But you did have it.
Yeah.
And because it was kind of seen as like a predatory thing, because shaved ones were like children's ones. And I think it's so interesting how this kind of perception has changed, because now it is kind of the norm and attractive to have it.
And expected, yeah.
Blank.
Yeah. Although I find it interesting that the significance of like the counterculture movement, like the hippie movement, and also the second wave of feminism in like the 1960s and 70s, were already like, okay, no, we're fine with our body hair. So it has always been like this taking the power back move that's connected to hair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very much. And also, I guess now in the third wave, kind of going against beauty norms, because beauty norms are inherently based on a gender binary and also on a very racist and colonial gaze.
Totally. Yeah. Because I feel like just seeing it as like a binary or like gendered way of defining beauty totally ignores the fact that it's also very white. Like the expectation of having little body hair, because lots of people of color don't conform to those beauty standards. Obviously, those beauty standards weren't made for people of color, but still we, as a society, do have this expectation on all women and people.
Very much so.
Yeah. But also, like you mentioned, I find it very interesting, like with the blank, like being blank or being hairless, that it's the comparison to like this childlike body or like to this innocence or purity, because in many ways our society expects that from femininity, that women are supposed to be small, fragile, weak, and hairless, because that represents that. And I oftentimes wonder if this is like a predatory preference, like this small little woman who's hairless and basically has the body of a very young woman or even a teenager in some cases.
I find it a super interesting question. I also read about this for a while and also stumbled on a counter narrative to it. Ish. I wouldn't call it a counter narrative, but something I found interesting was there's this painting called The Origin of the World.
Oh.
Yeah. From Gustave Courbet. I don't speak French. Please, no one.
I already fucked up all the French.
Yeah. I've never had a lesson in my life. It was painted in 1866. And it is the image of a vulva with pubic hair and a lot of pubic hair as the origin of the world, because that's where we're all born out of. And there kind of the connotation was that it's like a motherly thing, or it's something that mothers have.
And that's why it's not attractive.
And that's why it's not attractive, because mothers are generally not, well, with the MILF movement, I guess, but there's not, historically speaking, it's something, then you have children and you're kind of, in societal expectations of the time, married and like unreachable. And the previous was then to kind of still be chaste, I guess, with the nakedness of it, but also then to be seen as a sexual being. So I feel like there's so many layers and changes in society on when shaved means what and when hair means what, that I find it a bit difficult. And I also have this conversation a lot with my mother and her friends, because they find it super predatory, because they, when they grew up, it was super weird, as I mentioned.
The hairlessness
was super weird. And then when we started shaving, like me and my friends started shaving the pubic area, they were like, what are you doing?
For me, it also sounds a bit weird, like the argument of like it being motherly, like, almost this like a bit, yeah, contrived argument to make. I mean, just because somebody prefers hairlessness, it doesn't mean that like it has like pedophilia or like necessarily these associations. Yeah, for me, the argument seems a bit contrived in a way, because I'm not sure, like, maturity, like, it's still in the same lane that, like, maturity is unattractive.
Very much.
I want it young and, oh my God, it sounds so weird me saying that, but, but you know what I mean.
I understand what your argument was.
Pure, virginal, untouched, and stuff like that, yeah.
But I find it interesting because we've now focused a lot on, like, the vulva and it being shaved, which is a beauty standard, but also the pubic hair around penises being shaved.
Oh.
Is also kind of a thing now, no? I feel like it's been a while since I've seen an unshaved penis.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, as we said before, like, masculinity is oftentimes synonymous always with, like, body hair. If you have a beard, you're manly. And in that way, hair holds lots of power. I even saw an interesting quote from Brienne Foss, I think that's how her name is pronounced, the associate professor of women and gender studies at Arizona State University. And she said, hair has historically, at least in some contexts, represented power. So women's routine hair removal symbolizes their lack of such power. And it's interesting because, like, this masculinity and hair argument really plays into that, I feel like. But nowadays, also men, there's this small shift that men also tend more towards hairlessness or, like, their hair removal routines, which is interesting.
Yeah, because I read a study from Centu. It was called Intime Studie Deutschland. Mm-hmm. And they found that between the age of 18 and up, 62% of men have regularly shaved their intimate area, and 67% of women have regularly shaved their intimate area. So the discrepancy is not that high anymore.
Yeah, sure.
And is kind of statically that way. So the numbers don't vary a lot until after 45, where hair removal decreases again.
Okay, yeah. One thing to mention is that it's also very ambiguous, like, that the preferences for hair or, like, lack thereof also depends very much on the country or, like, the culture, also age, like you mentioned. And I also read an article about the Love Island effect, because there are so many, like, fit guys who are pretty much hairless, that for many men, this consumption of media like this showed them, oh, I should go for it, or, like, encourage them that it's not, I mean, it's archaic to say, but for many straight men, it's still, like, gay or, like, very feminine to take too much care of yourself. So for many men, reality TV or, like, the consumption of reality TV has been the starter of their hair removal journey.
And in this, there's also kind of formed over the last years a manscaping bubble, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is basically the concept of shaving everything below your chin, no?
Crazy. I guess there are probably, like, levels to it.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess, as with everything, there are people who, like, want it optimized or do it to the utmost extreme.
But I think in this we kind of see that for people in general, the images you see consistently kind of adjust the way you think about things. So yeah, in Love Island or in reality in general, you see a lot of very muscular bodies.
Yeah.
And they're usually hairless. Also, the men are quite hairless. And this kind of then capitalizes on male waxing salons and. So I think generally shaving as a capitalist concept is also this kind of concept of optimizing yourself and optimizing always it has you in a constant cycle of having to shave because the hair will always continue to grow. I mean, lasering does like reduce it, and with waxing you have a longer time before it grows again, but it is kind of currently unstoppable. It yeah. will always regrow. So it kind of is this big industry market also that now men are tapping into as well.
Yeah, which is very beneficial for the
hopping
market.
In. And also because I think for me at least, I've tried a zillion different methods of hair removal.
Mm, same.
Yeah.
I guess as men are tapping into the market of course also has interest and like advertises to them as well. So this is also shown in various studies that likewise to societal pressures that women face, a lot of young men feel the need to shave their torso, underarms, and like increasingly more areas. I still don't think it's as like persuasive as it is for women, but it's a bit more of a cultural thing now, I feel like.
Yeah.
Yeah, Helen, how's your personal experience with hair?
With hair. Personal experiences with hair. Yes, as I mentioned, my mother taught me how to shave when I was quite young. And then for a very, very long time, I think until up like a year ago, I could not have sex unless I shaved. So even if it was like a booty call at 4 a.m., I would get into the shower, shave, and then go.
Yeah.
Like it was physically impossible for me to not be unshaved.
Oh my God, I feel that.
No, I think it was like 2-3 years ago. Because then I have dated people who like said that they preferred if it was if parts of my body were shaved, but also no one was ever like, if you don't do it, I will no longer find you attractive and I will not sleep with you. But some like mentioned it, not because I asked. And then I had this moment where I went on a date a couple of years ago with someone I was seeing at the time, and I had forgotten my razor. And I had like these one-time razors that are always like super shitty quality.
Yeah.
And so I was like super hectic because I was already late, like always. And I like stood in the shower and like shaved everything. And I had the biggest injuries from it. And I arrived to
multiple.
Oh my God. It was a disaster. It was really, really, really a disaster. And he was super shocked. He was like, what did you do? And I was like, I had to shave because we were gonna. And he was like, you really don't have to. I do not care. And it was the first time someone had told me that they just don't care or don't notice it or don't see it. And it was kind of a starting point of a change for me. Because from then on, like when in the time I was seeing him, I didn't shave. And I was like, okay. We're still having sex. Like, it's still good. What is happening?
What's happening?
Possible. I'm like, oh my God. You know when people tell you something and it's like the biggest brain fuck and you're like, no.
Yeah.
That was it for me. I was like, okay. But then for a while, I still, before I went on first dates with people or first dates, the first couple of dates, I don't sleep with everyone on the first date.
It's not a rule.
It's not a rule that I do it. It's just, you know, when the vibe is there, why not? But I used to do it. And I also have tried like the body loss hair creams and stuff.
And the Veet and stuff like
yes,
that.
Yes, the Veet. And I was so desperate at times. I lost like the little scraper. I did it with like a butter knife.
I was about to go on a bit.
It was horrendous. Like all of these things just to get rid of hair. And I think the first thing that I started growing again during COVID, I think it kind of happened the switch to or during the end because you couldn't go out. So you weren't really seeing that many people. So I didn't really have an incentive to shave even when I was wearing like dresses or something. So I was like, okay. Because this is also a trend that the studies show that a lot of people shave like for occasions. Like if you go on a date or if you go to the swimming pool when you know like it will be seen. And there was no occasions during COVID. It was like, stay at home, go for a walk around the block. I'm not going to shave for the walk around the block.
COVID has been this very introspective experience for many people.
Yeah. So for me, it was kind of during this time, I was like, no. And now I don't not shave necessarily, but I have like months where I will not. And one morning I will wake up and be like, okay, I would like it gone now. Mm-hmm. And then I wax, or I go to get it waxed, which is also a painful experience, but I kind of like this, like,
do you like very the pain? it means that it works.
I like this kind of brutal way of getting rid of it and feeling like, okay, it's gone now.
Yeah.
Because by the time I then shave, there's a lot of hair, you know, and then, by the time I then want to get rid of the hair, there's a lot. And then, because I also hate shaving, it's such an annoying process. You kind of sit and you're like there.
So it's like it this double thing, because I have the same, like, that I like the pain in that aspect. And then you also give it away, the task, right? You go there, then somebody does it. They do it professionally.
And every time I do it, I'm like, I will never do this again. Like, boah, no. What is this? What am I paying people to do? And then, like, a couple of months later, I'm like, you know what would be great right now?
Let's go back again to, like, get my pussy waxed
really.
By a stranger.
But then I also get everything, like, down from the shoulders, all of the hair is gone. But it really is like a mood thing, because I really will have weeks and months, and I go swimming a lot, where I don't care, and I go on dates and I have sex, and it's just not a thing at all. And I also think now, if I were to not be in a relationship with someone, but to date someone who would comment on it and be like, you need to shave, I would be like, no.
But that's a good category to have, like, to be like, okay, you're out.
Yeah.
You're out.
Even though I do understand, like, personal preferences, but I also understand that it's kind of, like, indoctrined into your mind.
Yeah.
To see the body as prettier without the hair. But as we mentioned before, also with, like, what it says about, like, this very strong binary gender that you're reinforcing with it, I'm kind of just a bit, I don't know, not as interested in kind of playing the game anymore.
Mm. I think the indoctrination argument is super important, because for me, like, growing up male, or like as a boy, nobody told me like this is disgusting. Although I had like experiences where, for instance, arm hair, I have like darker hair and like thicker. People told me, oh, you look like a monkey or stuff like that. And even media has like, plays a big part in this indoctrination, that if a woman, for instance, lifts up her arm and there's like a bush, that it's like a comedic moment, or like a moment to be disgusted or anything in that regard. So I get that we are so like on that train of being like, oh no, it shouldn't be there. Even though in so many cases, people didn't even tell us that it's not okay personally. Yeah, but for me, many of my hair removal experiences always have been very subpar, or like not very optimal, because like being a person of color, your hair structure is different. And then these products are designed for like lighter hair. And if you have very thick hair, it can give you like razor burns, or like, I mean, razor burns happens for everyone, but like ingrown hair and stuff like that. And I remember with my first, waxing experience, when I returned, she was like, oh, you didn't exfoliate at all. And I was like, I did. I am a clean person. But because of my hair being thicker, it wasn't a good way of going about your body hair. So oftentimes the industry, or maybe it's different now, but oftentimes the industry just catered to like white people and a certain hair structure as well. Nowadays, what I found is like lasering is very effective. I mean, they have already made some advancement technologically that darker skin people can take part in that. But I oftentimes still wonder where that's coming from, if it's a personal wish or if it's still this indoctrination part that I think this is what is expected, or this is needed to be pretty, the hairlessness.
But with these things, I do kind of wonder, like, because I think that a big part of why we do things the way we do things are because of societal norms that are always patriarchal and sexist and racist.
Mm.
So I think one thing is kind of to stand against it, but also one thing is kind of personal comfort. And with body hair, I think it's kind of a process and kind of to figure out what works for you, because I don't know if the correct answer is necessarily that you are not allowed to shave or that you cannot shave, because it comes from a history of certain things, because it kind of has always been there also in different circles or for different reasons. So I don't know what it means. I think it's kind of, for me, more about losing the pressure of having to be a certain way.
Totally, that you can decide for yourself.
Yes, even though, of course, it's a bit naive to think that you ever really just decide for yourself or something.
With anything.
But, yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, hair represents so many different things. Like, also for me, it oftentimes makes me feel dysmorphic in my body in many ways. And to be like, oh, but society taught me that, for me, would not make me feel at ease, or like would not help me knowing that, oh, this is this political act. But at the same time, for other people, I do not care. Like, for my partner, I couldn't give less of a fuck, like, what hair situation you got going on. But I find it interesting if there's this case, if there's a partner who has maybe a preference for hair, because I think this can be communicated. And of course, it's different if you're like, hey, you need to be hairless everywhere. But I think there is a way where you can get on the same, where you can find a compromise.
Yes, but I do think it's kind of important that this compromise is something that is only, that doesn't have to be taken. Yes, someone can comment a preference, but that does not mean you have to oblige to it. It does not make you less worthy or less attractive just because someone has a preference, because I generally think commenting on other people's bodies is just not it.
And the attraction being so conditional is also not it. Like, if I find you attractive, but then I see you have like arm hair and I'm like, oh, not anymore. That's weird.
Yeah. So I really, I don't think your deepest life connection will be based on this. So I don't know if this is something, I think it's something that can be talked about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I also, I think it's something that can be talked about, but perhaps only when asked about, not when commenting, like, hey, by the way, if I ask, like, would you prefer if, I don't know, it's shaved, and maybe the person is also like, no, I would prefer if it's not, but I want to shave, then I will still shave if I feel like it, you know? But asking, I think, about someone's preferences is kind of the more interesting way to go about it, because then it's not an unprompted commentary on your body, but something maybe you're like, because maybe I personally, I don't have strong emotions about shaving.
Same.
So if I were to ask someone like, yo, what are your preferences? And the person would tell me their preferences. And then I can like think about if I'm in the mood to do this right now. And if not, I won't. But if I'm like, okay, then.
Yeah, but it should never be that you do it solely for another person. I feel like that you're like, oh my God, I hate this. But for you, I'll shave my complete leg and back and whatever.
Mm. For sure. Yeah, because I think, we are, it is important to not comment on anyone's bodies and to kind of, through this, help people feel more safe in their body. Also, especially with things like gender dysphoria or trans people, then also working really hard to kind of receive body hair or get rid of it. I also don't think it's something that there should be any commentary or judgment on, or really body hair is just your own personal business in some way. And I think understanding why things happen or where your thoughts come from is important. And then to kind of figure out where you want to go from there.
Yeah, because this is also another step where hair or the lack thereof can hold very much power. Like, for instance, having a beard can be so affirming, even to cis men, where their chins maybe seem more square or whatever, that you just feel more at ease or at home in your body. And it's the same with the lack of body hair, I guess.
And yeah, just like with this, for instance, for me, I'm not that big of a fan of beards necessarily. I do find them attractive on some people, but it's not something I'm like, please have a beard. But if I were to date someone who had a beard, has a beard, I also wouldn't be like, shave the beard, you know? So I think it's like kind of like that, to kind of know like, yeah, okay, we might have certain preferences, but how relevant are they? And as we picked up earlier, kind of, I think viewing experiences do a lot for this. So on TV, we basically now only see shaved people. Even in the Gillette advertisement, you only see people shaving their legs that is already shaved. There's no hair. So you don't even see that the product works, which is also insane.
Shaving the shaved leg.
Yeah, that the hair is so taboo that you can't even see it get shaved. I think now recently they've had the first ads where you see a bit of hair. But I also think, yes, in mainstream porn throughout the 70s, there was less and less hair, but there always have been marginalized groups or groupings or types of pornography where there has been hair. And also on cheeks, you find a wide variety of either shaved or unshaved hair. So you can kind of click through, maybe change your viewing experiences, see how you find it. And you can test cheeks with the code CHEEKSYCHATS. And you find the link and the code both in our episode description for this week. And I think that's kind of where we are at today.
In conclusion, we can say that today we learned that body hair and hair in general can hold lots of power. The same goes for the lack of body hair. And that we want to encourage everyone to find their own preference for their own bodies and to not adhere to any standards or stereotypes, binaries, racist ideals. And in the same way, those preferences can change at all times in your life.
So we wish you a fun time with your body hair or with shaving your body hair, and we encourage you to think about your choices and to enjoy some fun videos where you can see a variety of hair or hairlessness. And we're thank you for listening to us today, and feel free to also share your thoughts with us. And we hope to see you at our next episode in 2 weeks' time.
See you next time. Bye.